Let's all stand as you open your Bible to Acts chapter number 27. Acts chapter number 27. We've been looking at a passage of Scripture now, going through it just kind of verse by verse here over the last several weeks. Looking at really this story of Paul's final days on this earth. Really, we're coming to the last of the last journeys that Paul has been through on three separate missionary journeys. He's one of the greatest apostles. He's one of the greatest missionaries. He is just a fantastic role model for you and I, even living today. And we've been looking at a turbulent journey. And we've been really comparing it to the journey that you and I are on in our life here on this earth. We understand that we live in the last of the last days. We comprehend that you and I also are going to face turbulent times. I was speaking to several pastors as Pastor Dan and I were at a pastor's meeting, and they were talking about California and kind of knowing my background, and just begin to, we begin to kind of just make some snarky remarks about the West Coast and what's taking place there and the crazy legislation that they have going on. And I did say at the end of that conversation, gentlemen, I'll be honest with you, but what happens in California is eventually going to be here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We are already seeing it. It's already coming across. We can make fun of all we want to, but you rewind 10 years and you and I would have never thought that we'd be seeing what is taking place today. And it's accepted and it's applauded and it's all right and thumbs up. And if you and I, as Bible believers, go against it, we're the weirdos. We're the ones that, oh, you're not accepting. You're bigots. You're full of hatred. You're full of... And it's amazing how fast Christianity, and especially Biblicists, we have become the terrorist of the United States. But let me put it this way. It doesn't matter what they call us. We know that we're going to be persecuted. Why? For His name's sake. So, and we know that. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Let's just keep doing what's right. Amen. Remember that old Passion of Pirates song? Do right till the stars fall. Well, the stars have not fallen yet, and we just have not gone to heaven yet. So let's just keep doing what's right. It's going to be turbulent. It's going to be some difficult times. But we understand the encouragement that comes from the Word of God. So let's look this evening here at Acts chapter 27. Would you look with me at verse number 22? Acts chapter 27 and verse number 22. And I just realized I had you standing that whole time, so I apologize. Don't faint on me. You'll sit down here in just a moment. Acts 27, verse number 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. This evening, I want to once again look at a turbulent journey. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, so much for the good news this evening. Thank You, Father, for meeting the needs of Your local church. Thank You, Father, for those who are continue to be faithful in giving. Even through a difficult year and a half now, God, You continue to bless and lead and guide. And Lord, I'm just so thankful to be a part here and to serve with this family. Lord, we're looking forward, as Brother Schellenberg said tonight, we're looking forward to the days ahead. Lord, as we look around on Sunday and even tonight, Lord, just at the crowd, Father, we know that You are doing a great work right here in Indianapolis. Lord, be with this sermon this evening. Father, bless the word. I ask, Savior, that You'd give me the words to say. May nothing be said in the flesh this evening, Father, but may it all be said to Your honor and Your glory and Your approval. We love You. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We saw over the last several weeks, number one, Paul's friends. We saw, number two, Paul's warning that he gave. And now we've been looking at the wreck that Paul is now involved in. In number three, Paul's wreck. I want you to back up just a little bit and look at verse number 18 and watch what the Bible says here before we get to this really encouraging verse of verse number 22. The Bible says at verse number 18, "And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay upon us all, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. We saw several weeks ago, before Brother Schrock was with us, that the conditions on the ship must have been very frightful at this time. The ship itself is being rocked and heaved and threw herself back and forth in the waves that is not just taking place during the day or a couple hours at night, but this is happening now in a 24-hour period where they are not seeing any light. In fact, Paul goes as far as this to pen the words, and I quote, "All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." Now, watch very carefully. Have you and I ever been there in our lives? Have you ever been there where it seemed that all hope was lost? Nothing was going right. It seemed that health was failing. Bills were just piling up. It seemed that maybe that teenager was never going to come back to the Lord. It seemed that that marriage was deemed over. It seemed that friends had turned their back. It seemed that nothing in life was going right, to where maybe you could have even penned the words, "All hope that we should be saved in this life was gone." But aren't you thankful tonight that you and I serve a God that said He will never leave us nor forsake us? That you and I have a God that is always there for us? That you and I have a Savior that lifts us up, that dries our tears, that hugs us when we're down, that carries us when we need to be carried? Isn't it amazing that even though in our life, when it seems that all hope is lost, you and I still have a Savior to run to? That means this: when the lost world is looking to a vaccine or a doctor or help or a government or a bailout or some type of encouragement, or let's sit in a circle or a pill or a psychiatrist, friend, you and I don't have to have all of these things. Why? Because you and I have a Savior that has always been there for us and will always be there for us. And friend, isn't it amazing when we think about life that this is as bad as it gets in our lifetime? For all of eternity, that means 1,000 years from now, 100,000 years from now, 1 million, 3 million, 300 million, 1 billion, 500 trillion years from now, you and I will still be with our Savior, and if time at that point has just begun. Anybody excited about that? Say amen. Now look, I know it's tiring tonight. Wednesday night is like the, if you preached in here, you know, preacher, is it not? Pastor Defoe, Wednesday night is like the toughest crowd to preach to. Some of you love your mask. You put it right up there where I can barely see your eyes. I know you're sleeping. Just take it off and sleep already, all right? But it's a tough crowd to preach to. But I'm telling you, I get excited thinking about seeing my Savior face to face. But you and I going through this storm have got to quit acting like God is not there in the bad times when we didn't talk to Him in the good times. Friend, may I put it this way? Oftentimes, the American Christendom of today is this: we treat God like He is a genie in a bottle. When things are good, when our money's coming in, when the job's well, when kids are doing right, when grandkids are in church, when things are going fine, we do our little daily bread and we kind of dabble in the Word of God. But then when that storm comes, isn't it amazing how fast we hit our knees? How fast, oh God, help me. Lord, I need you right now. Oh, I'm so thankful you're my Savior. But friend, I got to put it this way. We're always on our teenagers and our kids. Be in your Bible. Pray. Be in your Bible. Pray. Friend, may I put it this way? You and I have got to quit harping on the younger crowd, and you and I must be in our Bibles. You and I must be praying, not just during the storm, but even when the sea is calm. May you and I daily be meditating in the Word. Look at verse number 21 with me. But after long absence, Paul stood forth and in the midst of them, and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." Now, obviously, as we saw several weeks ago, they kind of knew that already. Remember, Paul had already warned them that this was going to take place. They didn't listen to him. They listened to the captain of the ship. Everybody's on board. Everybody's going. They're sailing in the fall season. They should have been sailing anyways. They hit this storm, and Paul finally, after days and nights in this storm, stands up and says, "Hey, guys, I just want to let you know, you probably should have listened to me, and we should have never been even sailing at this time." But as we saw, they knew all too well now that Paul was a better seaman than even the captain of the ship. He had seen the storm. He had already been shipwrecked. He knew these clouds. He knew this weather pattern. He knew what was going to take place. It is not, however, a petty case of "I told you so." Paul only mentioned it now to make sure the lesson had been learned, that they would now listen to him this time. Paul is way too much of a gentleman to sit back and, "Well, I'll just tell you, man, I told you so." I mean, this is not an in your face. This is not rub your face in the mud. This is not self-vindication of, "You know what, you should have listened to me." And as we saw several weeks ago, you and I must also take on that type of attitude when it comes to fellow believers that have fallen into sin or gotten out of church or maybe a college student that is away from the Lord. When they get down, when they have nowhere to look up but up, when they're that prodigal son and they finally come to their senses and they're eating with the swine, friend, Christian, family, let me put it this way, that is not a time for you and I to rub their face in. "Well, I knew this was going to happen. Well, buddy, I'm here to tell you, you should have listened to me. If you only would have listened to me when I told you so." And let me just tell you, friend, you and I have not been given a sheriff's badge to point out what everybody else has done wrong. Friend, we have a Holy Spirit for that. He has already pointed it out in our lives. It is, watch out very carefully, it is absolutely a biblical term, restoration, friend. And I'm afraid in our fundamental Baptist ranks, we've forgotten about that. We've lost it. Just got to be careful here, but we've come now to this place where we don't give Christians really the help that they need. They know if they come out with, "I've got this addiction, I've got this sin, I've done this, I've wronged," we've almost given them two choices. Either we're going to brush it under the rug and just move on like nothing ever happened, and or we're going to kick you out of church and kick you out of our club and kick you out of our clique, and we're going to gossip and we're going to Facebook and we're going to talk about you. "Na na na boo boo, you did wrong. Look at me, I'm so awesome." Friend, I just tell you, neither one of those are scriptural. When a man falls, when a person falls, it is up to you and I as the church to help restore that man or woman back to the fold, my friend. Is everybody going to listen? Nope. I mean, I praise the Lord for the 99 that was there and the one that came back. But let me just tell you something. Not all shepherds have been able to bring that one back to the fold. It doesn't always happen. "Well, then, yeah, that's right. I've tried, and that's it, and I give up." No, what do we do? We ought to be praying. Friend, when our teachers are here, sometimes it's just time to get back to the nitty-gritty, and we have to talk about things that might be uncomfortable. So, if I just be uncomfortable for a moment. Can I just tell you, friend, in the day and age we live, in our Baptist circles, we are going to have teenagers that are going to come through our youth groups and been taught right and have been taught the Word of God, and they know God's love and they know His salvation and they know who He is and they have a relationship with Him. And let me just put it this far. There are going to be those teenagers that come up, and friend, they still are going to choose to be gay, lesbian. Now, nobody likes to hear that. How could you? It's going to happen. It's the day and age we live in. 15 years ago, California was voting those laws down. Fast forward to 2021, it's accepted everywhere. Unfortunately, it's accepted in many Christian circles. Oh, Pastor, what do we do? Number one, we ought to be bathing our young people in prayer. Hollywood wants them. I know we have public school teachers in here. Let me just put it this way. Public school teachers, I am so thankful for you. Praise the Lord for you. You're on the front lines each and every day. But the public school teachers will be the first to tell you, the public school system is after our kids. They want them. We've got to come to a place where we realize that there are going to be teenagers that grow up at Cross Point Baptist Church, and they're going to swing way, 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 way over there. And that, moms, is not a time to get on our little chats and our Facebook and begin to tear down that mom that raised them. You know what they need at that time? A hug around the neck. Maybe. Maybe just don't say anything and let her just cry. And then it's time for you and I to come in. And let's bathe them in prayer. Let's write that student a note. Love you. Praying for you. Bless God, I'm going to write him a letter. All right. I'm going to give 15 pages of how come you hurt your parents and how come you, and I'm telling you, dirty, rotten, blah, blah, blah. Tell you what, why don't we let the Holy Spirit do its part and we do our part? You say, Pastor, is that mean? Look, does that mean we just compromise and we just accept them for who they are? Let me tell you something, friend. We as Christians are never accepting to sinners. Amen. Well, somebody help me out. Amen. But I never. Well, it's accepted nowadays. I'm just gonna put it super clear. And I know we're on live stream, but I'm just gonna say it. It's never going to be okay biblically for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. Somebody say amen. Never. Doesn't matter. Well, the Methodists and the Presbyterians are going that way. Congratulations. Good. We're biblicists. We believe the Word of God. We're not going that way. It's never going to be okay for a mother to just say, you know what? This child living inside me, I don't want anymore. So I'll just go and take it out. Friend, we can call abortion all we want. I don't know why. I just tell you, it's not abortion. It's murder, friend. Well, what about? Trust me. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Dude, I start sweating when I talk like stuff. I'm just kind of culturally speaking. We just can't have all the daisies and the bread and the butter. Sometimes we just, let's get down to the nitty gritty and talk about it for a moment, friend. It doesn't matter how accepting a movement or a women's group or a man's group or feminism. Doesn't matter who's accepting of it. It doesn't matter what they call us. Friend, I'm here to tell you, it's never going to be okay to take a life because, well, it just doesn't fit my schedule, friend. That's opposite of what the Word of God teaches. The child inside there is a child. It's a human being. That's why the Bible says that Mary was great with what? The fetus? Just some cells? No, she was great with child, my friend. God created that child. It doesn't matter. This isn't a Baptist sermon. This is not a Cross Point sermon. This is Bible, friend, that it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. You and I have to do what's right. So you say this, is it ever going to be okay to accept this? No, it's never going to be okay to accept the sin. But I'm here to tell you, friend, there might be an individual that it's already taken place here, or it might take place here that a woman goes through with an abortion. So what do we do? Kick her out, put her out the exit. Hey, spear team, don't let her back in. Friend, no, that's a time for you and I to put our arms around that sweet little girl who's just gone through a horrific type of scenario in her life and help her to understand that God is a forgiving God, and it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see that little baby again one day, and we want those type of people to fill the pews at Cross Point Baptist Church. Man, it was a... Well, Pastor, I don't know. It's going to bring in some really weird people. Let me just put it this way. We're all weird, are we not? Make fun of us, Steve, all you want to say, I'm a hillbilly. Dude, we're all weird in our own way, okay? Just never mind, forget it. I'll go to metal and don't need to do that. Understand, restoration. Parents, grandparents, I'm just going to put it this way. I hope that never takes place here. But when it does, let's be prepared. I despise divorce.
Now, look, don't get uncomfortable. Don't shut your Bibles. There may be divorcees right here. You've been remarried. You're saying you hate me? Nope, love you. Well, what are we saying then? I'm saying if you've remarried, move on for the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him for the rest of your day. Stop looking in the rearview mirror and just press toward the mark, as Paul said. But let me say this. When it comes to a point in 2021 where one in two Christians are getting divorced, we're probably not doing something right. And God forbid, I'm going to keep preaching on the family. You pray for me as we're going to start a sermon series on the family here on Sunday nights very soon. I trust that it's going to be just encouraging. But if it ever takes place and somebody's getting a divorce, let me tell you something. Both those individuals need Christians to come around them and to help them during that time. I praise the Lord. I've never been there. I have parents that have been married for many years now, decades now, and I praise the Lord. Carrie and I have a great relationship. But let me tell you, we've been in hundreds of hours of counseling. It's just never easy. It's tough. Kim, I can't imagine how many times you've had to counsel through these scenarios. Tough. So if I should say, here's what I'm saying. Man, I can't believe it is 7:50. Where does the time go? I can't. Is it 47? It's 6:47. Let's all pretend. Amen. Okay. So I say that we've got to get back to restoring, helping, loving. I'm tempted to keep going here. So let me say this, and then I'll stop. The world right now is so full of hate. I praise the Lord for our police officers that are even here this evening. I praise the Lord for our men and women in blue. They're hated today. Not all of them are perfect, and they make mistakes, as we do as well. And oftentimes there's consequences to those mistakes. But friend, if you turn on the news tonight, these peaceful protests that are taking place, well, I'm telling you, it's full of hate, hatred for mankind. When a person walks in those back doors, they ought to feel a breath of fresh air of Christ's love for each other. It's, wow. Man, sure is nice to be in here. No notifications. I don't even know what's going on right now. Ah, it's just nice to be with the brethren. Talk about the Lord. Talk about His love, His mercy, His grace. Whew, isn't it great just to be? That's the atmosphere that the body of Christ ought to have towards a world that is trying to trigger everyone to hate everyone else because maybe race, maybe color, maybe political color, blue, red, liberal, conservative. Just tell you, friend, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. That's you and I. It's loving each other. Restoration. If this makes sense tonight, would you say amen? Amen. Okay, so let's look at verse number 22. And now exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship. We understand to be of good cheer. There's some good news that's going to come and be coming. And you and I have that good news. Now look at verse number 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Here's the good news. Whose I am and whom I serve. Verse number 24 saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Now watch the wording here. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The Bible says this in Psalm chapter 46 and verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That means when God gives you and I a task, as He gave Paul a task, you're going to go and you're going to stand before Caesar. You are going to be in Rome. When God tasks you and I with something, a plan or a future for our life, He will always give us what we need to carry out His will for our lives. That means this, you and I must trust Him. Paul said here, yes, I see the clouds. Yes, I've seen the lightning. Yes,
I've seen the storm. Yes, I see everybody hanging on for dear life and the rocking of the ship. And it looks like we're going to sink. And we're throwing stuff overboard. And everybody's puking. And everybody's sick. And everybody thinks we're going to die. I've seen all those things. And yet, here is the words that Paul says. For I believe God. It's time for you and I also in this culture, in this society, to have this same frame of thought, and to have the same mindset that no matter what is taking place around the globe, that no matter what is taking place right here in the United States of America, that you and I are not busy on Facebook, not busy on Twitter, TikTok, or Instagram, and oh, woe is me, and all the world, and all the United States, and all politics, and all the presidency, and all this, and boy, I'm just telling you, I'm so glad, and boy, this, and I think it's time for you and I, instead of getting so caught up as what the storm is taking place around us, that you and I start speaking what the Bible says, and that is this, that you and I are going to trust God. Why? Because I'm here to tell you, friend, what is hurting us as Christians is placing doubt in this world, is living a life that is fearing everything. No, friend, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. And it's time for you and I to stop putting all of our trust in CNN or Fox News or Dr. Fauci or President Biden or President Trump or our government or military or the CDC or Facebook. I'm sorry, friend, but whatever happened to just trusting the very word of God and understanding that we're going to go through some troublesome times. It's going to be turbulent. It's going to be ups and downs. It's going to be hard. But friend, may I say, no matter how big the storm is, you and I should stop trusting everything that we're hearing and seeing and start trusting the very one who created the storm to begin with. He's the one that controls the waves. What manner of man is this that could look at a storm and calm it? It's what his own disciples said. Oh, I think I'll get up from this nap. Oh, we're going to die. We're in the storm. Jesus, don't you even care? Oh, yeah. Peace be still. Gone. Oh, no, we're going to die. We've got to hang on. Oh, we're believing this. Oh, they said this. Oh, science. Oh, we've got to believe in science. Let me tell you something. Science is good and great, but I'm here to tell you, science changes each and every week. The goalpost is always moving, but I'm here to tell you, Malachi said, for I am God, I change not. I'd rather put my trust in God than everything else and all these other religions and, boy, toss to and fro with this and that. And the storm and all the fear and all the fear and all the fear, friend. Why don't we just be like Paul? Yeah, man. Whoo, we're in a bad storm here. Hey, guys, you probably should have believed me back there, but I just have something to say. Everything's going to be all right. You hear this guy? Oh, watch out for the lightning. Oh, there goes the sail. Oh, you hear this guy? Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I can't believe it. Paul, what are you saying? It's going to be okay. Nobody's going to die. You know, we tell people nowadays it's going to be okay. They look at us like we're crazy. You ever gone to a funeral for someone who died and was saved and there's unsaved people there? You know what they look at us? We're weird. Oh, we praise the Lord for this celebration of this Christian that went on. What? They died. Yeah, now they've seen our Savior face to face. Oh, they've walked on a street of gold. Wow, they met Peter and Paul, Mary, Ruth, Hannah, Jonah. What about they're talking to Moses about? They said, oh, the world looks at us. And Paul says, it's going to be okay. Friend, you and I are living today. And we never get to a place where we're the ones that are planting doubt in someone's mind. Say, Pastor, I feel like you're preaching tonight kind of this prosperity gospel where, you know, you kind of get saved, everything's good, great. Friend, nothing is further from the truth. Have Carrie and I gone through hard times without a doubt? Have we seen death? Yes. Have we seen our struggle without a doubt? But I'll just tell you, friend, God has never promised us smooth sailing when we got saved.
And if it's been smooth sailing for you, I praise the Lord. And that's wonderful and great. And I even somewhat envy you of, man, that's just wonderful. And I'm here for you. And that's great. But to put it this way, we've all gone through difficult times. But who was always there with us? God. So if someone else is going through a difficult time, it's probably not the best time to say, oh, let me tell you, I went through that same storm. I'm telling you what, it tore my ship apart. I thought I was going to die. It was so awful. And, oh, everybody was sick. And it was, I've never been so scared. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm not in your ship right now. Because, buddy, you just better hang on. It's going to be awful. And I'm just, when somebody's going through a storm, and we've already been through the storm, it's probably a good time to step in and say, you know what? I know you're going through this storm. I've been through the same storm. And I'm going to tell you what's on the other side. Sunshine, smooth sailing, a Savior that loves you, a Savior that guides and directs and is always going to be there for you. And He's not sitting up there yelling at you to get out of the storm or to get out of the mud. He's going to be there right with you, lifting you out, holding you, patting your shoulder, getting you through, dusting you off, making sure you're okay to serve Him for the rest of your days. Friend, there's going to be those who go through the storm of cancer. There's going to be those who go through the storm of a rebellious kid. There's going to be those who go through a storm of a toss to and fro marriage. There's going to be those that go through the storm of filling in a blank. Friend, if you've been through that storm, it's time to stand up and say, you know what? You're in a storm, but here's some encouragement, and I believe God. Amen. Believe Him. What a Savior. Amen. What a God. The day and age we live, we need Christians that trust God. Now, I'm almost done. Oh, the clock. Darren, the clock back there is fast. Trying to trick me, brother, get out of here a little bit early. Sorry about that, man. I have plenty of time. Give me 4 or 5 minutes here. Don't shut your Bibles just yet, but watch this. We've grown up millennials on down. Many have grown up without a parent that was in the military. And I'm not saying this just because we have military here tonight. I did not go through a major war. I remember the Gulf War, and I remember Desert Storm, or I think we call it Operation Freedom or something like that now. But I remember it. But for the most part, Brother Eric, we've not been through a major war like our great-grandparents and our grandparents that went on before us. We weren't there for World War II. Most of us were not there for the Vietnam War, the Korean War, like many of those who were ahead of us, of our generation. And so they knew that those tough times. They knew the times to save. They knew the times to be there. They knew what a real patriotism was. They've been through those difficult times. Can I just be honest? For those who were born in the late 70s, And the early 80s, they just remember a Reagan presidency barely, and then care really. I mean, heading into the Bush and some of the Clintons and that mess. But let's be honest, even in the Clinton years, the economy was still thriving. And now for the last 20 years, since about 2002, we've lived in a society that whatever you want, you get. It's called Visa. It's called MasterCard. It's the truth. It was several months ago, Pastor Chris, you probably know that number better, but it was something around $17,000 is the average American credit card debt, somewhere right around there, maybe more, probably even more than that. I mean, the average, it's not a big deal. I'm talking about 24% APR every single month on this stuff, and that's the way they live. Oh, Mom and Dad has a Lincoln, I'll get a Lincoln. Oh, I remember literally a day and age. I got to hurry, but this is a cool story. I remember my parents growing up. They had a room in their house that had zero furniture in it. As a kid, we loved it, man. It's our cartwheels and running around and playing. I didn't realize till later, Mom and Dad didn't have the money or the funds to get furniture to go in that room. So we went probably 8, 9, 10 years, I guess, without any furniture in that room at all. Nowadays, that's unheard of. Oh, maybe IKEA. Good grief. You ever heard of Amazon Prime? Good grief. That's about being the ruination of our marriage. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, my word. You want it, you get it. 2 days later, baby, arrives at your door. Free shipping, $13.99 a month, comes out. I mean, well, you want it, you get it. That's the generation we grew up in. Okay? So we have this generation that's had it. Well, now don't please. I'm not making fun. I'm a millennial. I love the millennial. I'm for every generation. But we have grown up with I'm going to put it this way. Please don't get offended. But posh Christianity. It's been easy. Oh, go to college. Get a debt. We don't want to pay our debt. All right, well, let's elect some people that are going to say, write off $100,000. Put it on the debt. I mean, well, it's $18 trillion, $20 trillion, about a couple trillion here, trillion there. It's whatever we want. You get it. You do it. And friend, here's what hurts us. This is not a socialism, capitalism. This is not a blue, red, Democrat, Republican speech. Here's what I'm saying is this. When the time comes and the storms come, I'm really afraid for our Christian brothers and sisters in Christ. They're not going to be able to handle it. When the time comes, Christian, and I really believe, Brother Danny and Dan and our generation, it's going to happen. What is going to take place when the time comes and they say, you either hire this type of teacher with the morality that they have that would be, as far as the Bible's concerned, reprobate, or you don't get to have a Christian school. What are we going to do? Well, I mean, it doesn't really matter. We'll put them over here. They don't have to have a whole lot of influence. And are we just going to cave like that? I'm afraid that's what's happening. Well, I mean, does the Bible really say that? It's kind of Old Testament, New Testament. Does God really mean that in 2021? Yes, He did. What are we going to do? We're going to go through storms. And I'm afraid, friend, if we're not there for each other, we might not make it to the other side. And we have 20 veterans a day ending their own life. May I say this, friend? It's happening not just in the lost world, but in the Christian realm. We have young people by the thousands every day that are calling it quits and committing suicide. It's posh. It's easy. Life's good. Visa. Blah, blah. When life gets hard, and it will, are you and I going to be ready? I'm just going to leave us with some food for thought right there. And